Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
That means you seek Him, you will find Him, you will know what to do, and so you respond by faith. You didn't seek Him, you don't know what He wants, you're just walking. So you diligently seek Him shows, I have a desire to walk in your ways. He shows you His ways, you walk in them. You have been walking by faith, and you please Him. That's how we please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you can't just wake up and do your own thing and expect, I must have been pleasing to God. I didn't cuss, I didn't do any of these things today. I'm well pleasing to the Lord. No, I know I have Mormon friends and other friends out there who don't cuss or drink or do all those things. They're not well-pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Today, Pastor Troy will remind you of a promise that God makes to everyone. He promises that if you look for Him, you will find Him. No exceptions, but it's a lot easier to say you'll seek the Lord than to actually do it. It takes faith. Faith that He can be found and that He'll let Himself be found. But when you seek the Lord diligently, it proves that you realize you have a need for a Savior and that you have a desire to repent of your sins. Pastor Troy will also remind you that if you choose to seek the Lord is pleased. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
If that is the case, that is, that they would be killed, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. That was a bold stand when it wasn't popular to do it. They didn't care what the result was. They said, hey, look, God's able to deliver us and He might deliver us. But even if our witness is that of a martyr and we die, we're willing to accept that because we believe in God. That's faith. That's being all in. No wonder God could do so many great things. And God obviously saved them. They went into the fire. The ropes were burned, but nothing on them was or even smelled like smoke. And it was as if one in the fire was with them like the Son of God. A sign that God was with them. Sometimes he keeps us from the difficult times. Other times He's with us in the difficult times. But we will be okay. We will always be okay if we stand with Him. That's a difference, by the way. We don't ask God to go with us. The reason God is with us is because we said yes to go with Him. He leads us, we follow, and then we can confidently say, God is with me. It's really the wrong way to phrase it, but it's actually correct. He is with you because He said, let's do this. So I'm with you in this. So that's the essence of faith. It assures us and it moves us. It makes a difference. That's why James said in James 2:18, but someone will say you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. There will be substance, there will be evidence, there will be something that happens. This is the faith that made the difference in many of the lives that we'll read about later that went before us. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 2 simply says that those who walk by faith ahead of us left a good testimony. Because of their lives, we have some to look to as an example. Thank God for them. They show us that it can be done, no matter our background. There were kings, there were harlots. You name it. There were individuals who were from the nation, individuals that were not from the nation of Israel. It didn't matter the disadvantage or advantage they had. It was this walking by faith that they're noted for, that made a difference in their lives and changed the lives of those around them. When we live by faith, It affects our relationship with God, but it also impacts the lives of those who are watching us. Let's talk about our relationship with God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Seek Him. That means you seek Him, you will find Him, you will know what to do, and so you respond by faith. You didn't seek Him, you don't know what He wants, you're just walking. So you diligently seek Him shows, I have a desire to walk in your ways. He shows you His ways, you walk in them. You have been walking by faith, and you please Him. That's how we please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you can't just wake up and do your own thing and expect, I must have been pleasing to God. I didn't cuss. I didn't do any of these things today. I'm well-pleasing to the Lord. No, I know I have Mormon friends and other friends out there who don't cuss or drink or do all those things. They're not well-pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Trusting in Him, that requires that at times we're going to do things that are beyond our skill level, outside of our comfort zone, and certainly outside of our personality. The big argument is, that's not me. I don't want to do that. That's not me. God says, good. It is me, and I want you to be more like me anyway, like my son, not like you. The effect of faith is that we please God. We have His approval, and there's no better feeling, no more satisfying feeling than that anywhere. Walking by faith enables us to endure the trials and discomforts that come because we realize at least God is with me. Though everyone else flees, I can endure this. I can do this because I know God's with me. It's very hard when you're not following the Lord and you're kind of carving your own way to feel comfortable, because the mess that happens is your mess. When I walk with the Lord and I know I'm doing what He wants me to do and something explodes or things unfold, I can get a little nervous about it, but at least I can say, God, this is yours. And it is. But when we go out there and we do things our own way and we run ahead of the Lord or we don't even seek Him, like David when Uzziah was killed because they moved the ark the wrong way, when we do those kind of things, it's not His mess. It's on us. So don't run out there going, well, it's God's mess. And you say, no, that's not my mess. I will show you how to walk through that mess and to come out of it the right way, but you need to sit down and listen to me, because I'm going to show you and tell you how you're going to do this, or we won't do it at all. You want to walk around in a fiery furnace, make sure that fiery furnace is one that He will walk with you in. Otherwise, you'll get burned. It happens to all of us. We wonder, where's the Lord? Why isn't He walking with me in this? Well, first of all, He wants you to feel the consequences because you did it. Second, He will walk with you. Why don't you invite Him and submit to Him? And He will gladly walk with you. Walking by faith enables us to endure trials. Hebrews 11, verse 35 through 36, listen to what some of them endured. It says, women received their dead raised to life, which they had to die in order to be raised to life. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chaos and imprisonments. All of that is what they endured. The life of faith gives you a confidence in God so that you have His approval. Nothing else is more important than that. And that enables you to do everything that you do for His glory. You can endure anything when you know God is with you, or you are with God. Paul said to the Corinthians, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to the Lord. So that's the payoff. Right here, right now, living by faith, knowledge that God is pleased, and it is a good feeling. As a result, I am satisfied. I have peace. Things go well. Not always the way I want, but they go well. I have meaning and direction and a sure foundation. So that's us. That's what we get, walking by faith. That's a good thing. So many are seeking peace. He gives it. Second, besides our relationship with God being affected, there's the effect that faith has on others who are watching us. The life of faith is an adventure. It's not boring. When we set our mind on Him, to follow Him, it's hard. It's not easy. but he's enabled us. He's equipped us. He's even given us his Holy Spirit. And he said, don't rush. If you're not certain, now if it's a lack of willingness, that's one thing. But if you're not certain, wait. Listen for the Lord. Stop rushing and doing a bunch of things, getting yourself in trouble, messing up your life and everyone else's. Wait. Because those who wait on the Lord, their strength will be renewed. So wait. We have such a fast-paced culture. It's no wonder the church has no power. We never wait for him. He's patient, waiting, wanting to lead us beside that still water. He says, oh yeah, I'm going to fix this in a matter of 5 minutes time over this phone call that's going to come one day when you finally yield yourself. But right now, you've been spending 5 years trying to get this thing done. And I'm going to let you wander and wonder when things are going to change. You'll find out that they'll only change when you trust me. And I can do all the rest. I don't need you for that. I just want you to trust me. Settle down, slow down, listen. And there are others who are watching you and how you react to circumstances, to God, to people. Do you react? Quick to react. Let me just tell you, it's safer not to react quickly. People may think you don't care, but at least you won't be a fool. Don't react too quickly. Don't overreact. Take things in. Give the Lord time to help you process things. And God will make sure you are on steady ground. One of the greatest detriments to many of us is we overreact or we react on the spot. Stop it. We get in arguments because of it. We cause division in our homes because of it. It makes a mess. Wait on the Lord. The life of faith often requires waiting, trusting, letting God be God. And listen, those times of rest that you're looking for, they're found in those times of waiting. Some of us were so busy, we're wore out. But God's given us so much time. He says, rest. I don't want you accomplishing all these things. I don't want you figuring it out. Just settle down. Slow down. Just rest. So I got a lot up here I want you enabled for. I've equipped you. I've made you to be like. So settle down and don't mess things up. Be patient.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on building on the solid rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about building on the solid rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
If you ask the average person what they want out of life, the average person would say, I just want to be happy. You know, I just want to be happy. Having the stuff that I need, not having problems that I don't need, I just want to be happy. That's it. It's an honest answer. People go down many roads to find happiness. That's why they do some of the things that they do, or we do, because we think that'll make me happy, that'll fulfill, that'll gratify, that'll satisfy, but it never seems to. We try every road, but the road of faith in God, trusting in him, his way. It just doesn't seem to make sense. They end up unfulfilled because they never tap into the powerful life, faith in God. A psychologist wrote, 1/3 of all my cases are suffering from no clinically definable neurosis, except from the senselessness and emptiness of their own lives. They're focused on themselves and they're discouraged. So it's not because there's anything wrong necessarily, it's more of a deep inward depression, a focus on self. Their life is empty and it seems to have no purpose. He says 1/3 of his cases are that. A young man went off to Hollywood to find happiness. Three things that he wanted out of life. He wanted to see his name in lights. He wanted to own a Rolls Royce. And he wanted to marry a beauty queen. By the age of 30, he had accomplished all of those. And he went into a deep, deep depression. Because everything he thought would fulfill and satisfy didn't. And he had nothing else to hope in. We always have hope in Christ. Because we don't ever achieve it here. So we're always looking. I'm becoming Christ-like. Okay, difficult time has come. It's to make me Christ-like. God, help me respond the right way. I can endure because of that. You want to minister to others, and if it means taking my life, I will be that light. And I know you have a purpose, and I know that heaven is better. I can endure even death because I'm fixed on my Lord. I've set my eyes on him. And everything else that I lose as a result, I don't want to, but I know that this is much better. We can endure anything when our eyes are on Christ and when we walk by faith. Those who live by faith find satisfaction, the power of God, something that shines a light in the lost and starving world that we have and live in. They're so desperately looking for someone who can lead them, point the way. But no one's willing to walk by faith anymore. Jesus even said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I was kind of hoping the answer would be yes. In fact, because we have faith in him, we're not lost and meandering in the world as if we have no foundation. We're on a sure foundation. We know who we are, where we come from, and where we're headed. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So now we have an example of faith. The author is speaking to Hebrews who are being asked to move forward and follow Christ by faith and to let go of this religion they can see the physical rituals of. I see the sacrifice. I bring it. I'm a part of it. I smell the incense. I see the priest. I'm a part of something that physical. And so I'm going through this and we're all in this together. He's saying, don't go back to anything like that. Go forward by faith. In fact, he mentions this because he says, the substance of your faith originally was just like this. You can do this because don't you, my Hebrew believer, believe in the one true God who created everything from nothing? Isn't that by faith? God hadn't shown up like he did for Moses during this time to this people. It was by faith that they trusted in God. And he's saying, look, that's the same thing we want to do now, is trust by faith, but we're to put our eyes on Christ. By faith, we trust in him. We're to live by faith again and not by these rituals. It was a bold move. It was a very deep message, one that they needed to hear. You already operate by faith. Now appropriate it the right way if you believe God. You see, we're all willing to operate by faith. Even unbelievers operate by faith. How much faith does it take to believe some big bang happened and then in some soupy concoction, something evolved over millions of years from sea or some soupy thing to being able to actually breathe, yet developing the lungs over time. I guess it went back in and would come out and go, and then keep doing that until finally it's like, oh, huh, I got lungs. Good. So that was like millions of years to do all that. But then there were two of them. We got a male and a female. How did that happen when they said it was miraculous that even one happened? They got a lot more holes in theirs than we have in ours. We have no holes in ours. They're messed up. Let that stay on the record too. Now that's faith. That's faith, right? Isn't it? Were they there? No, they just put faith in that. This is the theory I put my faith in. Makes most sense to me. No, it doesn't. If you're as smart as you claim to be, it doesn't make more sense to you. What it does is it allows you to stop thinking about sin. That there is sin that separates you from you and the God you'd have to believe in. And you don't want that. You see, we're all willing to operate by faith because we've all been given a measure of it. It's what we do. The question is, what or who is our faith in? It's not that we can't believe God. It's that we won't. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, saying, don't tell me you didn't have enough evidence. The stars in the sky, the systems set in place. Speaking of that, it says the worlds were framed. framed. So it's not that they just exist. They were framed by him, meaning that he also set certain things in motion so that they happen a certain way, like the planets that revolve around the sun, gravity. All of these things are laws established by God. He set them in motion so that they operate. He framed the world. Now, this is where science falls short, because they see these things, they observe these things. This is what science observes, natural law. This happens and this happens, so this happens. Well, okay, we can figure it out. We can figure it out without God. We don't need a God. Like, come on. You're stopping short of the one who set it in motion. It'd be like if we were really, really small and we were next to a car, and so there's this big tire, and you go, whoa, a big tire, what is this thing? And it turns, whoa, it turns every now and then. Well, I don't believe there's a driver. But how does this thing turn? And you investigate and you find out that there's, you know, I'm not a technical guy when it comes to this. So there's a steering wheel and a rod and a pinion and a rack and I don't know all these other things. So there's things that turn it and you find it all out and you discover it and you explain it in science, how it happens, exactly how it unfolds. And you go, see, there is no driver. The steering wheel actually turns it and this is how it all happens. No God. No, there's still a driver. Just because a steering wheel attaches and turns the wheels doesn't mean there wasn't a driver in there causing the wheel to turn. This is why science falls very short and is no test of whether there is a God or not. It's the wrong measurement. You want to test God. You want to see if there is a God. Look around and see if, by faith, lives are being transformed the way he said they would be. See, we're using the wrong instrument to determine whether there is God or not. Sort of like we wouldn't use a weight scale to figure out what temperature it is, right? Well, science is the wrong instrument to use to find out if there is a God. They will never discover that there is a God. What they'll discover is there is order to everything. Now the question is, where did that order come from? And that, my friend, is where we need faith. Where did it come from? Who's the driver? And they, though they could believe, choose to believe in something else because it would mean we are accountable to a God who has not only established order but established moral right and wrong. And nobody wants that, not in this world. So we respond by faith. I don't believe we're an accident. I believe God created us and that he knows who we are, he loves us, and he has a plan for our life. He knows what makes us tick. Walking by faith requires that you recognize that you are accountable to the Creator, which is what stumbles so many. Sin separates. Not a lack of faith. Sin. Sin blinds people to the truth, and they put their faith in the wrong things, put their hope in the wrong things. So we're saved by grace through faith. The same faith we're able to demonstrate in other places, but it's putting that faith now in the right object, in the Lord. So faith is a solid assurance that moves us into action. That's the essence. As we walk by faith, God puts his approval on our lives. We're fulfilled, and we are a witness to others. That's the effect. We all put faith in something. In fact, you put faith in that chair you sat in when you sat down. I didn't see any inspecting their chair before they put their weight on it. You had faith that it would hold you. We all operate by faith. So the question is, since you can live by faith, will you?
The book of Hebrews reminds us that only one person should hold the top spot in our lives, God. Our Creator has made all that we see and all that we are, and nothing we have done can change it. In Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through this New Testament book, we've learned how important it is to keep our focus solely on the Maker of heaven and earth. We're so glad you joined us today for another edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series in Hebrews, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe in iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com and be sure to let us know how we can be praying for you. Thanks for listening today to Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.